Hello and welcome to True Faith, the show where we talk about the truth of our Roman Catholic faith from the standpoint of the magisterium. Today's topic is going to be one of the most important topics. I always say that every show, I always say that this is going to be one of the most important topics. And in fact, they're all so important. The last few episodes, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, living a life in the Spirit in application to the sacraments. So the idea was, about five episodes ago, we were going to take an in-depth look at the sacraments and see what we are doing wrong, what maybe that we don't understand that's causing us to lose grace. Because as we can see from when we go to church, we see that there are so many sick people out there. And I'm not talking physically sick, although there are some sick people. I'm talking spiritually sick. It's like we're walking dead. It's like our churches, they're so I don't want to say boring, because you know what they always say, that we must not know what's going on in the Mass if we think the Mass is boring. But I'm saying that we look so lifeless. We look so unmotivated. We look so lackadaisical. And so if we know that God gave us the sacraments, we know this from Scripture, we know this from tradition, we know this from the lives of the saints, and we see the power of the sacraments in the lives of the saints, we must understand that God did not institute sacraments to be fruitless. He granted us the sacraments, and he gives us the sacraments to be powerful, to be potent, to be strong, to lift us up, to give us graces necessary to build up his kingdom. And so if we're not receiving these effects, well, obviously, there's not a problem with God nor his sacraments. There must be a problem with us, maybe our understanding. And we also discussed that there's a spiritual enemy, and his goal is to try and remove that grace from our lives so that we will not have those gifts that Jesus wants to give us, so that we will not have the power to overcome him. And so we looked at baptism, what it means, what it was, what it does in our life. We looked at sacraments as a whole. We looked at confirmation. And then the last class, we looked at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, discerning charisms a little bit. And now today, we're going to talk about prayer, living a life of prayer, living a prayer life that reflects that we have a life in the Spirit. Now, we're not going to talk, so you might think, oh, we're going to talk about speaking in tongues and praying in tongues and falling over and sleeping on the floor. Well, we're not going to talk about that today. We are going to talk about prophecy and tongues and some of the more interesting charismatic gifts later on. If you've missed the whole topic before, you can go and check out the previous shows that we have. You can go to my website, www.truefaith.tv. and try to find the links there, or you can go online and do your best to find out your own information. So when we say we're going to talk about prayer, this is not going to be like, you must pray this way, you must pray that way. We're going to talk about three little elements, and really it's going to be two main elements, but that they're going to be pertinent to anybody. It doesn't matter if you can speak in tongues, if you can move mountains, it doesn't matter. Why? It doesn't matter if you're St. Thomas Aquinas. This is going to apply to you. Even though St. Thomas Aquinas is dead, so I guess it doesn't apply to him. But you know what I mean. If you're theologically, like, brilliant, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you think you're a spiritual jumbo jet. If you don't have these two elements, you can't pray, and therefore you are not living a life in the Spirit. So what is a life in the Spirit? Well, a life in the Spirit is a life that proclaims that Jesus is the Lord. So our goal is to know and love Jesus Christ, and let's take a second to pray for that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse, so that through this show we may know and love our Lord Jesus Christ in a new way, in a more faithful way, in a way that allows us to be greater witnesses to him, to be love in action. Jesus, our Lord, have mercy on us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, what are these elements that are absolutely necessary for every single prayer life, especially a life in the Spirit? The first element is to escape. We must escape from the world. Now, the word escape, it comes from, I think it's the Latin, escapa. So imagine you have a cape on, and you're trying to escapa, you're trying to escape, and then somebody grabs your cape. So what we must do is we must escape from the world. In everything in the world, and everything that bothers us, and everything that we care about, no matter what the circumstance, we need to let go of that. So imagine you're like this little kid, this little child, and you're in the world, and then you realize, I must escape from the world. But then somebody grabs you by the cape, and you can't go and you can't let go. So you're trying to go to pray. You're trying to have a prayer life. You're trying to, you know, do these things, and you just can't focus because you just can't, because you got all these things in your mind. So what we need to do is, what do, when somebody's got you by the cape and you're trying to escape? You rip the cape. So they're just there left with a cape. And that's what we need to do in our prayer life. We need to rip ourselves out of the world. We need to rip all of our attachments, everything that we desire, everything that we want in this world. We need to rip ourselves out of it and enter into what, well, our next step. But why do I say we must rip ourselves out of this? Because we live in time. God lives in eternity. So we must rip everything that we're so concerned about. And I don't mean that we forget about it and we don't bring it to prayer. I'm saying that we drop it, we let it go. Because when you die, all these things that we find so important, they're not gonna, you know, it's not gonna really, you know, it's not gonna matter that much. What's gonna matter is, what, first and foremost, how well did you live your vocation? How well did you love Jesus Christ where he put you? It's kind of like if you're in the theater and you're the king, and you're in a play, you're the king, I'm the king, oh, I'm playing the role of the king, and then somebody else is playing the role of the peasant. Well, when the show's over, you're not going to have a higher reward because you played the king and somebody else played the peasant. No, what's going to matter is, how well did you play your part? How well did you fulfill your duties? How well did you love the Lord? And so if we're living a life in the Spirit that says, and to live a life in the Spirit means that a life that proclaims with every aspect, every ounce of their body as best as possible, that you desire to have Jesus as the Lord, number one. So the first step is to what? Make an act of the will. I'm going to rip myself out of the world and enter into eternity. So what do? We escape. We rip the cape. Escapa. And what? How do we do that? Well, one, it's an act of the will to choose to say, I'm going to pray first. I'm going to go to the Blessed Sacrament Chapel. I'm going to get my Bible. I'm going to go separate. But the key element, no matter where you're praying, although the best place to pray is in front of the Blessed Sacrament. That's the number one place to pray. But when that's impossible, what matters? Silence. Because we know from Scripture, we know from Isaiah, that God is not in the thunder. There was a huge thundering and God wasn't there. There was a huge clanking sounds. There was a drum, those beats, right? Like, so we're like, ah, I'm going to my prayer group. So even if you're in a Pentecostal prayer group, even if you're in, you know, a rosary prayer group, there comes a time, no matter what prayer groups you belong to, where you, and this has to happen every single day, you have to cut yourself out of that. Enter into silence, just you and the Lord, because the Lord speaks in silence. Imagine if you're going to play baseball and you have a baseball game, and I know from experience because I play baseball, what do I do first when I'm about to go to my game? Do I sit there in my game thinking about, oh, I got math homework, oh, I've, because you know, I did have, and that's a beautiful thing about sports, and that's a beautiful thing about our prayer life, is that we can have all of these burdens. And then what do? You rip yourself out of that situation, and when you're on the field, what happens? You only worry about on the field. Everything else, your home life, your everything that's going on in your life stays off of the field, except for your spiritual life, of course. But what happens after the game? You got to come back into that, and you've got to deal with it, and it's a burden. And in fact, you're worse off than you were before. But this isn't the same when we do a break, when we rip ourselves out of the world to focus on God. When we come back to the world, we're going to be more prepared. We're going to be ready to take care of business. And not only that, but God has given us the grace, one, to do our work well, two, to realize that it's not that important, and it kind of puts things in perspective, and three, to know that God is with us. And because we put him first, he will put us as a priority as well. Because what we have to understand is that God has a divine will for each one of us at every moment, and putting him first is the first part of living a life in the Spirit, is the first part of proclaiming that Jesus is Lord, is that before work's important to me, it's more important that I see Jesus first. So I get up early to go to work, to go see Jesus before I go to work. So that's number one, escape. So next time when you're thinking, oh, I'm stressed about this, the Lord desires something better for you. Escape. It doesn't matter how pressing a matter is, there's always time to escape. Imagine, just think about it. When, let's say you're working. You say, I have so much work. And then you get a call from the nurse's office. Your son is sick. You have to leave work to go pick him up. Oh, I can't leave work. But your son, he's going to be sick. You need to take him home. He's going to vomit everywhere. He's so miserable. You find a way to make time. somebody comes from out of town. You don't know what to do. I had plans this weekend. They come in from out of town. What do you find a way. So the same way, if Jesus is the Lord, if he's our number one, last video, last show that we had, we talked about Jesus is number one and we make a commitment to him. The same way, if you go on a date, what do? You don't, and you're trying to, you know, this is the first time you've met this person, you met this girl, met this guy. And what do? You don't say, oh, I'm going on this date. And then you go and you blabber on about all these problems you have. And no, what do? You leave it behind you because you want to put your best self forward. And then when you're done with your date, then you go like, oh man, I got so much to do, right? The same way, we deserve to do more for God. So number one is escape. Number two, and that's like taking off the cape, ripping it off. Number two, this is exact opposite. It's the inverse. We escape, and I'm using these terminologies purposely so that you will be easier to remember them, because this is how simple it is to pray. Number one, escape. Number two, enscape. Enscape? Never heard of enscape. It's the opposite of escape. X is out of, in, into. So you're ripping off one cape. You're ripping off your worldliness. You're ripping off time. And then you are clothed with eternity. So it's like you're running away from this bad guy, right? And you rip the cape, and you're running, mama, mama, and your mama's there waiting for you at the front door with her cape. And she says, oh, my baby, you're so cold, and she wraps you in it. So what is this, what am I being wrapped in? You're escaping from the world, and you're inscaping to the Lord, into eternity, into God. This is nuts. No, it's not nuts. It's very simple. You run away from the world, too. You just as a cape, you're ripping that one off. The next one, you're being absorbed in the presence of God. Wow, this seems so simple. Yeah, it's easier said than done, I know. So when we inscape, when we wrap ourselves up in God, and I'm going to begin to use terminology that has a lot to do with dating, because ultimately, the Holy Spirit is the person of the love of God. So when we love God, we have the Holy Spirit. If you think about confirmation, the gifts that you're given in confirmation, the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're there to help you grow in sanctity. But if you look at in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and if you look at the lives of the apostles, what did confirmation do to them? It gave them boldness. It gave them strength. It gave them zeal. It gave them fearlessness. Why? Because they were filled with love. What do you mean? I don't get it. Those outward, so people always think of Pentecost. Wow, Pentecost, they all of a sudden they got these tongues of flames on their heads, and then they heard loud noises, and then all of a sudden because of this, no, those were outward manifestations of something that was taking place within them, within their hearts. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. And so when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of God, God's love dwells within your heart, it changes you. It's kind of like, you know, maybe you have a friend, and he's always so sloppy, and he never shaves, and his haircut's always very messy, and he uses bad words all the time. And then the next day, you see him. He's so clean-shaven. His hair is so nice. He's speaking so eloquently. Why? Oh, he must be in love with somebody. He's trying to change. He's trying to impress, right? Well, imagine. So let's say, and this is a good situation. Let's say you have, you have a wife, and she's so good. She's so good to you. She's so loving. She's so humble. She's so pure. She's so loyal. She's always got her dinner cooked there. She's never complaining. She's always, even though she's tired, she's saying, honey, I love you. Is there anything I can do for you? I've already put the dishes away. And you're saying, wow, this is amazing. And then, and let's say she's even, sick and she's suffering for you. And then somebody out of nowhere, you don't even know them, they come up and they start persecuting her and they say, oh, your wife, she's a tramp. She's this and that. What are you going to do? You're not going to say, no, I don't care, whatever you want. She's, you're probably... No, what are you going to do? You're going to say, what? You better watch your mouth, man. You better watch who you're speaking to. That's my wife, Buster. You must be speaking about your own wife. What would you do? You'd defend her. You'd stand up for her. Why? Because you love her. So what do? When we escape, if we're supposed to be filled with the love of God, and it's the love of God that gives us the boldness, the witness to go out and proclaim Christ. And so that's what we say yes to at baptism. We say, yes, Lord. And if you haven't made this commitment for yourself because you're baptized as a baby, try to see the previous episodes. If not, just give everything to the Lord. Think about it. So when you go out, you meet a girl, you like her, right? Oh, that she's very nice. And then you get to know her. And as you get to know her, you begin to like her more. And then you say, hey, you know, the good outweighs the bad over here. I'm going to make a commitment. And then when you make a commitment, your love grows. And you really begin to enter into this relationship. And you start to invest, and they start to invest in you, and you start to, there's benefits, and then there's consequences, and then there's responsibilities that take place. But what's the most important here is that you've made a commitment to love. And so in baptism, it's like we've made this commitment to love. We don't know exactly, we're not perfect yet. We just know that we want to love this person, and we want to work it out. And then so in confirmation, we're given the gifts to love them more perfectly. And so we give our hearts even more fully. We keep giving and we continue to work and work and work in our life to fix this. And why does this relate to our relationship with God? Well, if you think about the theology of the body and how – and this is just the truth, theology of whatever, you know – God gives himself, the Father gives himself to the Son receives that love and gives himself completely back to the Father, and the love that they share is a new person. It's so powerful. And God has put this into our very bodies as a sign that this is the love that God has for us, that in heaven we're going to be so perfectly united that not even the marital embrace can express this love, that in the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Eucharist is the same concept. Jesus is giving me his life. He's giving me everything. He's not holding anything back. I'm receiving that so powerfully. We're sharing in this exchange of intimate union. It's so powerful that not even the marital embrace can just barely gives you a glimmer of the unity and the love that God has for man. And so if this is the intimacy of the relationship that God is calling us to have with him, the elements there, it's not that the relationship that we have with our, you know, our spouse is reflective of the love of God. It's that the love of God has made – it's the opposite. It's that God designed the relationship between man and woman to reflect the love that we have and that we're supposed to have with God and that he desires with us. And so in escaping, when we wrap ourselves up in with God, like any other relationship, we need to get to know the person. And when you get to know them, then you begin to love them when you have an encounter with them, right? So think about it. So the first thing we need to do when we escape is, and again, this is not concrete that you must do this steps, but the first most important aspect, I would say, in a progression is meditation. What is meditation? Meditation is thinking about something that happened a long time ago or before, thinking about that, and then applying it to our lives to make a resolution now. So for example, you're thinking about the New Testament. So I would highly recommend the three sources of meditation. The first is going to be the climax of them all, which would be Scripture, the life of God, the life of Jesus, God's relationship with man. We reflect, so you get your Scripture and you read it slowly, and you think about what's going on, and you relate that to your own life. So one, what is God telling me through this? How do I relate this to my own life? And then how can I make, what resolutions can I make to live this now? Two, the next source to go to, which I only put the Bible above this one because this one is like a mini Bible. So when I'm reading the Bible, I can read what paragraph or something, reflect on one little spot. But when I pray the rosary, I am praying Scripture. I'm praying the life of Jesus, and I put the Bible above the life of God, even though the word is only expressing what happened in his life, and that's what we're meditating upon, is that you really cannot meditate upon the mysteries of the rosary, which are the mysteries of Christ's life, if you do not at least know some Scripture. So when we pray the rosary, we're saying that the words that the angel said. We're saying the words that Jesus taught his apostles on how to pray. So, and this is just a little quib. When the apostles asked Jesus how to pray, did they say, oh, you speak like this? No, he didn't say, oh, you speak in tongues. No, he taught them vocal, real words, right? And these words express something. So the meditation on the mysteries of the rosary, if you think about what mystery it is first before beginning your Hail Marys, and then make an intention based on this mystery. So you take a second, okay, the mystery is the transfiguration. Lord, help me to see your help me to see you in your glory in even the most simple situations. You make something up that would help you to deal with whatever you're trying to get through or whatever virtues that you're seeking. And then another good one would be the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Now, personally, in my own life, just FYI, I when I go to the Blessed Sacrament Chapel, the first thing I do is pray the rosary, primarily because I also have somebody there praying for me now that I'm saying praying my rosary. A hybrid of the two would be to look at what the mystery is. Okay, the first joyful mystery is the Annunciation of the Angel Gabriel to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So what does that mean for me? That means that I will use Scripture, read where that happened in Scripture, and then after I've meditated upon it, say 10 Hail Marys, or this is sometimes called the Scriptural Rosary. Very powerful. Now, the second aspect of InScape, so there's a meditation on this life of the person whom I love, and then there's what? There's an encounter. There's silence. There's attention. And then you just give attention to Jesus. You can speak to them. So if the three types of prayer are vocal, meditative, and contemplative, we could change that to something more practical, which would be prayers of the mouth, prayers of the mind, and prayers of the heart. Attentive prayer. Attentive prayer is where you're just opening your heart to God. So the goal of all of these is the heart, to have a deeper love for the one, for the beloved. And in this case, our beloved's alive and he's with us. So then you're just quiet. A lot of times people will have a difficulty when they first escape from the world and they rip themselves from it. And when they go to their silent time, it can be like purgatory. You've got so much on your mind. And the longer you're there, it's like you want to start ripping your hair out. It's like, I can't take it. It's just too silent. I just can't focus. Well, if you're having difficulty at first letting go, sit through that purgation, kneel through that purgation, and eventually you'll be wiped clear of all of that. So another good purpose for the meditative prayer is that it will help begin to filter out all of the problems of the world that you brought in with you. So you've been thinking about things from your own perspective, from your own angle, and then by entering into meditative prayer, what happens? You begin to filter out your thinking and your perspective on your problems and your perspective on the world, and you begin to receive God's perspective on the world, God's perspective on your problems. And not only is there a change in your attitude, but scientists have shown that there's a chemical change that goes on within yourself, that your mind, your brain chemistry begins to change in prayer in a way that it doesn't change in any other situations. And so, by escaping often and escaping from the world, we come to the third aspect of prayer, and that is to sacramentalize. What do I mean by sacramentalize? When you leave adoration, when you leave your daily holy hour, when you leave this time where you've escaped from the world and entered back into it, everything becomes holy. If you think about, let's say you're with a woman that you really love or a young man that you really love and you've been, you know, you're engaged and you just leave, when you're done with your date, you just keep thinking about them. It goes over and over in your mind, everything that happened, everything that she said, everything that he said, it's just playing over in your heart and it's just so nice, right? Well, that's what happens when you escape, you inscape, then you sacramentalize. Everything you do after that becomes holy, because if the most important prayer is the prayer of the heart, then your heart is in it. Imagine when you've been on a retreat and then they have like a dinner time or a lunch time. It's like when you go on a retreat, everything you do is holy. When you eat on a retreat, for some reason, it just seems holier than when you eat lunch normally with your friends or with your coworkers. And when you play games on a retreat, for some reason, it's just like holier, the game playing that you do on a retreat, than you do anywhere else. Why? Because you've escaped, you've been enwrapped in the presence of God, and you're out there, God is with you, you're aware of his presence when you're actually doing these activities. And so this is a relationship that must be built, and like any relationship, if we want to love somebody, if we want to have a faithful married life, we think of this person often, we're with this person often. People who go out of town, you know, out of sight, out of mind, if they're not around, you don't think about them as much. And so anytime we notice that we're starting to become more worldly, escape. Rip yourself from that situation. Put yourself in the presence of God through Scripture, through meditation, through contemplation, through vocal prayers. Vocal prayers are a very good way, especially after we've been enwrapped in God, to keep that sense of God's presence. So do this. Escape. And join us again next time on True Faith, where we talk about the truth of our Catholic faith, not only from a magisterial doctrinal point of view, but a real, true, how do I apply this to my life? Visit my website, www.truefaith.tv, for more videos, for more audios, for more PDFs, and other things to help you on your journey to heaven. Pray for me as I pray for you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Eternal Father, we ask that you give us the grace, the providential occurrences in our life to realize that we need to escape from the world, that our difficulties are because of our perspective, that there's more to life than these earthly problems that we have. Give us the grace to escape. Give us the grace through the power of your Holy Spirit to enter into a deeper prayer life, a greater awareness of your presence, and give us the courage to do this every day. Give us the faith to not be afraid to escape into you and trust that you're the God of all time and all of eternity. You can multiply our time. You can do anything. You are the God of miracles. We love you. Bless us in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. God love you. See you next time.
Peace.